Our scripture reading is found this afternoon in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, John chapter 6, and we'll read from 26 to 59. John 6, beginning at verse 26 to 59. And this is in the context of Jesus having performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and the people followed after him, looking for more. And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate. You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then complained about him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. We will be looking especially at verse 35, but really the whole passage, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So do you remember, dear congregation, children and young people too, the short series we started last Sunday, which will go right up to New Year's Day, God willing. The series on some of the names for the Lord Jesus given us in the Bible. We're going to go from A to I. And remember last week what the first sermon was about? About him who is called the Ancient of Days. Three times we have that name in Daniel 7, and we studied in the sermon about how gospel instructive that name is. And now today we want to go to the next letter, and we want to think about how Jesus is referred to in our scripture reading of this afternoon. And how is he referred to? He refers himself to him being the bread of life. The bread of life. Notice in verse 32, Jesus speaks of himself as the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, as the bread of God. In verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then in verse 48, Jesus declares again, "I am the bread of life." And in verse 51, he asserts, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever." So it's clear then, we have another name or title for the Savior. So helpful to meditate on and to feed on, spiritually speaking. And this service is also a preparatory service for the Lord's Supper. Next week, we pray. And admittedly, we have to say, let's say that right away, that in John 6, with Jesus speaking of himself as the bread of life and eating him as such spiritually, that is not referring specifically to the Lord's Supper as such, as some have wrongly concluded. Yet at the same time, what Jesus teaches in John 6 about himself as the bread of life and embracing him and receiving him as such does surely relate very much to the matter of rightly coming to the table in true faith and repentance. Do you and I do this? Do we feed on the Savior as the bread of life for our souls? In this preparatory service, it is good and important that we think about what that means to feed on Christ Jesus, the true and living bread from heaven by which all God's people live and are truly nourished now and forever. My aim with this short series on the various names given to Jesus is to keep the messages as simple as possible, also for our children and youth. And so, as mentioned in the bulletin, our theme for this sermon today is based on the text in John 6, our theme is Jesus, the bread of life, Savior of sinners, and confessing him as such. And in pursuing this theme, let's first investigate a little more the gospel meaning of Jesus as the bread of life. And after that, in further application of this title for Jesus, we will mention five feeding points in connection with truly trusting and following this Jesus. For that, we will make use of the letters of the word bread to help keep the sermon simple and memorable for us all. To understand what Jesus meant with describing himself as the bread of life, it's most helpful to consider the context of him doing so, as well as remembering the Old Testament history of Israel, as referenced in the chapter, when in the wilderness journey, you know, from the land of Egypt en route to the promised land of Canaan. What was the immediate context of Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life"? How does John chapter 6 begin? We didn't read it, but it tells, you know, that miracle story of Jesus feeding
more than 5,000. Some have estimated it could have been up to 20,000 if you include children and women. He fed more than 5,000 with just one lunchbox meal of a boy in that crowd. You know, from those five little buns and those two small fish, verse 9, Jesus multiplied that lunch to feed a whole bunch of people into thousands and thousands. And in the end, even, there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. We are told after this event, Jesus and his disciples crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and when they came to the other side, they saw huge crowds. The huge crowds that had been with Jesus, they had followed Jesus. Some on sea, and many walked around the sea to be where he might be. But then in that context, Jesus speaks this warning word to the crowds following him. He says, you're just following me for earthly bread and for worldly prosperity. I mean, we understand this, don't we? Who doesn't want to be with a superman who can make a meal anywhere for us for nothing, free of charge? People wanted to make Jesus king so that he would make life smooth and easy for them all on this earth. Jesus was aware that obviously they were not looking to Jesus to save them from their sins, but rather to provide for them every earthly blessing here and now. You know, this is sadly not that uncommon still today. Too often, Jesus is wrongly promoted and preached as the health and wealth savior for us, while not declared especially as a savior who came to seek and to save sinners. A mega church like that of Joel Osteen, one of the largest so-called Christian churches in North America, neither preaches nor tolerates a gospel focusing on Jesus Christ coming especially and most important of all to save us from our sins and sinfulness. No, they preach and teach a Jesus religion to make them feel good and great again, with his help, giving them all the goods for a wonderful and comfortable life here and now. Let us watch out, dear congregation, for this type of false, ear-tickling, man-pleasing Christianity. And be discerning of the false spirits of our age, however attractive it may look to us. Isn't this comment in order and exactly in line with our text, with our scripture, where Jesus also addresses the pursuit of false carnal religion, even by the religious Jews, as he proclaims the way of true religion before God and man? In this setting, thus, Jesus warns, as we read in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. And Jesus then calls the people in the crowd to believe on him as the bread of life, as the Savior come to save us from our sins and our deserved destruction left to ourselves. But we are told the people in the crowd, they then ask Jesus, well, give us a sign. As if Jesus hadn't given lots of signs. He just gave a great sign with the feeding of the 5,000. But they're so bold and brash. Well, give us a sign, Jesus, to show us you are that promised Savior and that Messiah of God. Give us a sign, they insist, even like Moses gave the Israelites with the manna from heaven 6 days a week for 40 years. When the people were in the wilderness journey way back then. We can read that whole history of God miraculously providing manna for the Israelites for 40 years in Exodus chapter 16 and also in Numbers 11 as well as other places. It's in this immediate context and in view of the Old Testament story setting of the God provided manna from heaven that Jesus speaks of himself now as the bread, the true bread from heaven. He says in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven
and gives life to the world. When the people then ask for that bread from him, Jesus expands on this title, telling how he came down from to be the living bread of salvation for us. Salvation from sin, when trusted and believed in him as only Savior and Lord. Through him we become reconciled to God, and our sins may be washed away, and we may be the redeemed of God and heirs of eternal life. In that context, as John 6 further shows, Jesus mentions how many of them were actually not showing and really proving they were not interested in him. They were showing they were not interested in him as Savior of sinners. And Jesus says, you're just following me because you want earthly and physical blessings and not eternal and spiritual blessings. But Jesus, notice, he has the confidence that all whom the Father gives to him, they shall come to him. And he promises, we read in verse 37b, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise or by no means cast out. He came down from heaven, Jesus did, to serve as God sent, all-sufficient, perfect, complete Savior of sinners. And as many as receive him as the bread of life from heaven will surely be saved by him and forever so. Most assuredly, says Jesus in verse 47, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. If anyone eats of this bread, speaking of himself, he says, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And we know Jesus meant with this, he would give his life even to the death on the cross, that sinners like us might find through his shed blood and righteous once for all sacrifice full and free forgiveness of all our sins and the gift of everlasting righteousness and the gift of eternal life with him. Those repenting of sin and trusting and following after this Jesus as only Savior and Lord escape the eternal condemnation and the second death and everlasting punishment that we deserve for our sins and sinfulness. Jesus received and believed by you and me. Jesus embraced and eaten in true faith as the bread come down from heaven for us brings salvation, rich and free. This is what Jesus is making ever so plain in our text passage when describing himself with this title and name, the bread of life. Well, it's not all that hard to understand, is it? Even the children, you get it, right? What Jesus meant when calling himself the bread of life. John 6 helps us to understand what Jesus means, even when it tells us about how the unbelieving Jews kept on refusing to understand and to believe. Now, it's good, congregation, just having thought briefly on this title and name of Jesus as the bread of life, to ask each of us here, are you appreciating and loving also this name of Jesus? And do we, you and I, do we, each one here, embrace Jesus and eat him? Eat him, spiritually speaking, of course. Confessing and acknowledging this Jesus indeed as the bread of life come down from heaven to give us everlasting salvation and eternal life with God. Will we each consider this question now, especially to you who are confessing Christians here among us and thinking in regards to the Lord's Supper next Sunday, God willing? To come rightly to the table means coming as those who truly have and keep on feeding on Christ as the bread of life. It is hypocrisy to come to the table, to participate there in receiving the bread and wine in remembrance of Christ, giving his life and sacrifice for us, if you and I are not daily feeding on Christ as the bread of life for us. So here are five helpful feeding points drawn from the text to reflect on now, and in this preparatory week, as we are called to examine ourselves and so to come to the table of the Lord in spirit and truth on the Lord's Day,
next Lord's Day. Ask yourself, for one, do you and I acknowledge Jesus Christ as be the blessed, yes, Bible promised, beloved Savior of sinners? Do you and I agree with all our mind and heart that in John 6, clearly Jesus is teaching us, look, I am the fulfillment of all the foreshadowings of God's care and provision and promises for you. Not primarily for your physical and earthly benefit, but for your spiritual and eternal well-being. That manna miracle way back then was something just temporary and for the body only. But you need that gift of God which brings salvation for your souls and for forever. You need that Savior and salvation from heaven which brings reconciliation and redemption from sin before God. For you and me too, we are a sinful, wayward people of ourselves by nature. And Jesus says, I am the true bread from heaven given by God the Father for you. Already in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, the Lord had instructed the people how with that manna miracle way back, God had this ultimate spiritual lesson in mind, namely, that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. So now when Jesus says in John 6, 35, I am the true and living bread, he is teaching, look, I am the Word made flesh. I am the true and living bread. I am the promised Messiah given by God from heaven for the salvation of your souls, for the salvation of your life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. And do you and I respond saying, oh yes, and thank God, it is so. And Jesus, I wholly embrace and trust you and follow you as such. I know with this gospel statement and name about himself, Jesus is declaring emphatically that he is the blessed Savior promised from the day of man's fall. He is the ultimate gift of God, come as Savior of sinners whom we each desperately need to believe and receive. Shall we truly be saved and eternally be blessed in soul and body? I am the bread of life. Do you prize this name of Jesus, embracing it and eating him as such, believing he is without a doubt, yes, the blessed, the biblical, the beloved Savior of sinners, God promised, and so need to listen to and to love and to follow after? Are you and I feeding on him thus, spiritually speaking, from out of his word, receiving him as the one and only blessed Savior of sinners for us, you and me, and even for as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him? Not only that, but isn't it right to say those who feed on Christ as only Savior and Lord, they trust and believe in him as secondly are the rich Savior of sinners. We can say the rich, the real, the royal Savior of sinners for all who trust and follow him and for as often as we come to him and feed on him. The gospel message is never can we exhaust the salvation blessings for undeserving sinners like ourselves. But every time we mess up, we may come to him for renewal. Every sin, we may ask for forgiveness. We may go to him again and again. He's a Savior, the bread of life for undeserving, failing sinners time and again. Come to him. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Yes, out of his fullness of salvation accomplished on the cross. Grace for grace. In our text passage, Jesus makes himself known as the true and living bread from heaven for all the world to receive. The manna was just for one nation, just for a little while, just for the body. But with the Lord Jesus as the bread from heaven, there is enough supply of true food and drink for all, from all the nations who come to him. He that comes to me shall never hunger. You could also translate, shall not ever hunger. And he that believes in me shall never thirst. And in the Greek it's very strongly put, by no means. There is salvation supply.
rich and real and royal with Christ. Let the sinner come, whosoever will, come. It was quoted, I think, in the consistory, can't remember, but without money, without price. Come rightly to the table means come, coming empty-handed from yourself each and every time again, but looking to this Christ, believing he is the rich Savior. He is rich as the bread of life, in whom all fullness dwells, and whose fullness never diminishes, no matter how many and how often we draw from him. Jesus is the greater than Joseph. In Egypt, remember, not just with countless storehouses of food for the body, but with endless supplies of salvation for soul and body, in life and death, for now and forevermore, for all who trust in him. Well, is this what you confess? What I heartily believe, you and I together? Yes, that with Jesus, the bread of life received and believed, we will find full satisfaction and peace in our life here and now and for hereafter. With him, we may find real redemption, true victory over sin, Satan, death, and hell. And we may know and believe with Jesus as our Savior, we have the promise of resurrection and eternal life. Jesus says this all and more in verses 39 and 40 and 50 of John 6 and other verses as well. You see, this is the gospel tidings, dear congregation. Jesus is the most blessed Savior of sinners and the most rich Savior of sinners too. Though we read Paul saying in Romans 10 verse 12, "For the same Lord over all is rich to all those who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians 2 verse 7, the same apostle says and speaks of the exceeding riches of God and of God's grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, this is what God's true people trust and know and believe, even when they sometimes struggle in believing it. They know it's what the Scripture teaches, and they say, "Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help me to believe, to trust in this Savior of sinners for all who rely on him." Is this your testimony of faith today? Is it your testimony for this preparatory week? With Jesus as the bread of life for us, I find riches beyond compare for this life and the next, even when so undeserving in myself. Are you rich before God, looking to Jesus, knowing that true satisfaction in life and eternal peace with God here and now are found for us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior? Well, what more can we say and testify concerning Jesus Christ as the bread of life? Doesn't our text passage, John 6, show also Jesus very much as the earnest and evangelical, most excellent Savior of sinners? And don't all God's true people know him as such? The earnest, excellent, evangelical Savior. In the context of John 6, Jesus is addressing a most unbelieving and scoffing, hard, murmuring crowd. The people came across as not very interested in Jesus as the bread of heaven come down to be the Savior of sinners. And at the end of the chapter, we read what? We read that after this teaching about him as the bread of life, many turned away from Jesus. And it says in verse 66, and walked with him no more. They weren't interested. But notice how even with such an audience, Jesus, with all long-suffering, labored to show them who he truly was and is, and how much more important than their earthly prosperity was their getting right with God and being saved from sin in and through him. Jesus Christ as the God-given and only Savior of sinners. How we can thank God. Won't every child of God thank God for his persistence in pursuing us? In verse 25 and verse 30 and 34 and 41 and 52, Jesus patiently and urgently reasons with the people to see him for who he truly was and is, and their great need of him as the bread of life for them. And the way Jesus relates and reasons with the crowd shows his great care
and compassion, and long suffering for sinners, and how he truly came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, unquestionably most earnest and evangelical as Savior, urging all to come to him to be saved. Even the simple picture of Jesus using here bread to describe himself as Savior, calling himself the bread of life. You know, that's something which shows just that name, his desire to reach out to all, even to children and youth as well. Everyone knows what bread is and how we need bread to live. And now with this simple name for himself and statement about himself, I am the bread of life, Jesus brings out how people need him as Savior and Lord. And trusting him, he will feed us. He will feed us with life, and that more abundantly and eternally. Let all come, therefore, to him for life and ever feed on him, the bread of life. When we are true Christians, isn't this what we do? And what we do by God's Spirit and grace. Isn't this what characterizes us, you and me, when we're true Christians? Ever feeding on Christ and his word. Feeding on him in true faith and in repentance daily. And feeding on him in seeking to live in union and communion with him from our hearts as he's revealed in his word. That's our life, isn't it, when we're true Christians? And then too, we know, don't we, what most brings out that Jesus is indeed the earnest and the evangelical, excellent Savior of sinners. Isn't it the fact that in this whole declaration of himself as bread of life for sinners like us, Jesus well understood, as the chapter further brings out too, that for him this means what? For him to be the bread of life for us, what does that mean for him? It means for him his sufferings and his death on the cross. In the sinner's place. As one commentator put it so well, speaking of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, have you ever thought about how bread is made? Have you ever thought about all that grain must pass through before it becomes bread? It must first be planted and then grow. And when it's ripe, it must be cut down, winnowed, and ground into the flour. Finally, it must be subjected to the fiery heat of the oven. Only by this process does it become able to sustain life. And isn't this exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus? In order that he might become the bread of life for sinners like us. Jesus was born into this world, planted here by God for this purpose, that he might be the bread of life. So he was bruised when he was here. He was cut down by sinful men. He passed through the fires of God's holy wrath as he took the sinner's place in judgment. This is his glory. He suffered this for such sinners as we of ourselves. How then can you or I refuse to feed on him? Come to him, feed on him, and draw from his fullness, and keep feeding on him to grow stronger, to increase in and through Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The fact, too, that Jesus, after seeing so many turn away from him, as he spoke to himself, as he spoke to them about himself as the bread of life, not interested, the fact that Jesus didn't say to his Father, Father, just take me home. Why should I lay down my life for these thankless, godless, only worldly-minded and sinful people? Take me home and forget them all. No, instead, Jesus steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem, as we read in Luke 9, and he gladly would do whatever was necessary to be the true and living bread for hopeless, guilty, vile sinners such as you and me. And when you know and believe Jesus as such bread of life, Savior of sinners, don't you want them to come to the Holy Supper in humble, thankful, joyful remembrance and honor to him? He who laid down his life for his sheep to be the true bread from God, from heaven, for us now and forevermore. What a Savior. Well, is this how you know Jesus too? And how you feed on him? And how you testify to him, of him to others? Our text chapter gives reasons to hold on to Jesus as the bread of life. He is the blessed Savior for us, the rich Savior, and the earnest evangelical Savior. And this all becomes so relevant for everyone too. When you notice next what the chapter also implies throughout, this Jesus is surely also the absolutely needed Savior for us. The absolutely needed Savior and bread of life for us. And doesn't this come out in our text passage? Wherein Jesus is described as the bread of life for us. Namely, what an absolutely needed Savior He is for you and me. I mean, isn't this something we must acknowledge with mind and heart, personally, if we will rightly attend to Lord's Supper next Sunday, God willing? We can know this even from the picture or analogy itself of Jesus being the bread of life, how absolutely needed He is. You know, everyone realizes this, I think. No one denies this fact. Bread, how common it is, how necessary it is. Bread doesn't here have to refer to a loaf of bread, literally, but it does refer to whatever is our staple food, our daily ration of food for our physical health. Without our regular meals and drink, we could not live. We would die. Jesus speaks about the natural man spiritually being hungry and thirsty. And without God in Christ as your Savior and Lord, the fact is we remain lost in our sins. We remain hopeless and without salvation before God. We remain forever empty and doomed to perish under the just condemnation of His righteous judgment for our sins. Without the gospel, word, and work of Jesus Christ as Savior, this whole sinful world, since fallen in Adam and Eve in the beginning, it lies under the curse of God and His righteous eternal wrath for sin. But now Jesus came, sent of the Father, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus, as sin bearer, would bear the punishment of God, even the eternal anguish of hell in body and soul in the sinner's place. You see, and this all the Bible declares in many places. There can be no other Savior for sinners, for us, but Jesus Christ alone. This is what all Christians learn and affirm on the basis of Scripture. Is it your and my sincere testimony, living also in our ungodly, pluralistic, anti-absolute age, also in church life, alas, all too often, that there's only one way of salvation? How absolutely needed Jesus is for your and my salvation from start to finish. Have you too come to realize this, learning something of your sin and your sinfulness before God in and of yourself? When the Lord teaches us how absolutely needed He is, He teaches us that in the light of how absolutely miserable we are in our guilt and sin of ourselves, hopelessly lost. Do you believe Jesus Christ is absolutely needed as Savior for yourself and for myself and for all people? How sad that so many in the setting of John 6 turned away from this Jesus, not interested any longer in Him, because they refused to take seriously their sin problem. They refused to take that seriously. Because they refused to take that seriously, they despised also the Savior. And they would not trust and follow Him as the bread of life come from heaven for themselves or for anyone, spiritually speaking. You won't turn away from Him, will you, anyone among us? How very sad and horrible even, when the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the bread of life, come down from heaven for us, for people, even the covenant people of God, and people, even the covenant people of God, refuse Him and turn from Him. Jesus is the answer to all the searchings and hungerings and thirstings of mankind. Yet the tragedy is so many will not hear His voice nor follow after Him. Yet He remains the absolutely needed Savior. As Peter confesses in verse 68 to 69, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And to whom else shall we go? He asks, Lord, he says, you have the words of eternal life. And isn't this what God's people confess? Coming rightly to the table means believing more and more and realizing more and more that Jesus Christ alone can save us from the guilt and the bondage and the punishment of our sins. And he saves us through his life and death in the sinner's place. Only with him crucified and risen again, can we find pardon and peace with God. Jesus is the bread of life for us. In this sense, that he as Redeemer is the absolutely needed Savior for us. Shall we be saved? Shall we stay saved? Well, do you today so testify of Christ and cling to him and feed on him as your only Savior and Lord, each one here this afternoon? Won't that show, if that's the case, in you and I knowing also assuredly and testifying that this statement of Jesus as the bread of life declares Christ as most dependable and delightful, dear Savior for us to going to the letter D? How does this last point come out in our text passage, that he's most dependable Savior? Well, hear for yourself how emphatically Jesus asserts, those who come to him as the bread of life will no longer hunger, and those who believe on him will never more thirst. Doesn't Jesus state this over and over in this passage as a matter of fact, beyond all doubt and question? In verse 51, Jesus states it triumphantly, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats this bread, he will live forever. How can Jesus' dependability as Savior, as bread of life for us, be explained? Well, Jesus says over and over, he is sent from heaven. He is from the Father. He's serving as God's Son. He's the bread of life, divine and human, for us, from God. With God, all things are possible. In verse 37, Jesus triumphantly declares, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Beloved, Jesus, as the bread of life, declares himself as most dependable Savior of sinners. This is most certain gospel truth, not only because of Jesus' perfect life and sacrifice on sinners' behalf, but because of the perfect will and plan of God the Father, from the beginning, in and through Christ, and also because of the almighty workings of the Holy Spirit sent forth by God the Father and God the Son on account of Jesus' finished work on sinners' behalf. He's the bread of life, so dependable, the true and living bread for as many as come to him and feed on him. This gospel truth about the promised Messiah, dear congregation, was already known in part in the Old Testament, where the psalmist declared, as we sang also, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, Jesus is the bread of life. Come down from heaven for us. Do you hear? What a declaration of himself as Savior of sinners Jesus gives us in so naming and describing himself to us and for us. Will you receive him as the bread of life indeed? And ever feed on him for yourself in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Oh, isn't he the blessed, biblical, beloved Savior of sinners? The rich, royal, real Savior of sinners. The earnest, evangelical, excellent Savior of sinners. The absolutely needed, all-sufficient, all-in-all, amazing Savior of sinners. And the dependable, dear, delightful Savior of sinners. Isn't this and more even? Who all and what all the great bread of life, Savior of sinners, is for us. For as many as will by God's sovereign grace embrace him and eat him for as long as they live, spiritually speaking. The Bible says, the longing soul that turns to him, he fully satisfies. He, each hungering one, fully supplies who for his mercy cries. May you be so blessed feeding on the bread of life in this preparatory week. and then at the table in remembrance of him. Amen. Psalter 164, 1, 2, and 3. Lord, thank you for this very simple but precious name given to Jesus. He's the bread of life come down from heaven. And Lord, evermore give us this bread, not thinking of for our bodies just to have life here smooth and easy, but Lord, that bread of life, spiritually speaking, whereby we may be saved from our sins and be forever reconciled to God, and be one of your dear children, and be anticipating even the eternal world to come in the new heavens and earth, always with our Savior, Lord, through what he suffered and endured as the bread of life for his people. Lord, bless your word to us. May we love your names as we come across them in the Bible. And may we know your names, and may we tell others you are so great a Savior, that all the names you have can't fully describe and tell how great you are and how great a Savior, even for the chief of sinners who repents of sin and believes on you. Lord, hear our prayer. Receive our praise. Go with us in the week to come. Help, Lord, at home with the duties of raising children or with other responsibilities. Help at work. Give strength with stresses and challenges. Be with those who are looking for work. Help, Lord, in church life. Help in school life. Help in all our responsibilities that we may seek and serve you. Help us in this preparatory week. Keep us from the evil one. Sometimes he can so pursue us and bother us also in preparatory week. Help us to be able to resist him with your word and in prayer, and to know that you have overcome him and we are safe looking to Jesus. Oh, hear our prayer.
Receive our praise, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.